about to look into the future with business futurist Morris Beslowski from businessfuturist.com today, taking a look at the 40th anniversary of the mobile phone, which was celebrated last week. Morris Beslowski, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Morris, what on earth was life like before the mobile phone?
Can any of us really remember? For most of us listening, it was within our lifetime, but prior to that, we seemed to have no memory. We were back to one fixed phone in most houses on the wall. It had that wonderful curly cord that connected the box to the headset. And if you were like me at that age, a teenager, you would have had a very long cord that spread around the house, you know, so you could shut the door behind it so your parents couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yep. It's really changed the world, hasn't it?
It has. And part of that message, of course, is you were always yelled at to get off the phone.
Yep. How many people in Australia, or maybe even in the world, actually use a mobile phone?
It's incredible when you look at the numbers. We have a population just on 23 million anyway in the next couple of months in Australia, but yet we have close to 30 million connected SIM cards.
Incredible. Yeah. So we've been even more on the uptake than some other countries.
We're very, very good at the uptake, but I don't know if we're the best at it. We certainly see a lot of countries in Asia that have a far greater uptake, but certainly we're not behind the eight ball at all. What's incredible when you start looking at the figures even further is that 60% of the world's population, that's first and developing countries, whatever signifies you want to use, have or have access to a mobile telephone. It's almost impossible. It's fascinating when you start to talk to people. Now, many people will give you that story of, I wish it had never been invented, I wish I didn't have one, and all that technology talk. But they're always the same person that if they've misplaced it, left it at home, not sure where it is, has that slight panic attack of what's happened to it. And that's almost become a human panacea now.
I saw a survey, I think, the other day where it said that we would rather lose our wallet than the mobile phone.
Yeah, absolutely. We have become so attached to this little box that we carry in our pocket, our handbags or briefcases, and it's just phenomenal. And again, all in 40 years, which is why I think it's such a timely discussion to realise how far we've changed. Prior to the mobile phone, we had a consciousness that said we had to be connected to something in order to talk to the world or find out about the world. We actually had to go somewhere to have that conversation. Many of us will remember the old phone booths, and there were many of them. Again, people had to go and find a phone booth, because if we were on the road, that was the only way to do it. But now we don't have that thought at all. We literally just, you know, the minute we have something we want to say, something we want to find out, something we want to talk to people about, we pull out the device without even thinking. And we now see the world through our own lens. We've talked about hyper-personalization before, but the mobile phone has given us this sense of belief that the world is created around us. It's unleashed us, untethered us from any fixed wires we had before.
It is a huge change indeed. What about developing nations? How are they using mobile phones?
In really very, very great ways. What we're talking about here is that many developing countries, if we look at India, I mean, China, the greatly developing countries, but many of the developing nations have not and will not have the ability to cable. They don't have an MBM project. They're not going to be able to put one together, fund it even if they could. The distances are too far. If you look at countries that have that need and look at the fact that 60% of populations have mobiles, you see all sorts of programs, including health programs, being put onto mobile phones. What's been found is in developing countries that most villages, most places have at least one phone. They're the traditional phones often, the old Nokias or something, what we would call a dumb phone that really just has text and the ability to make phone calls. But on that, they're able to put medicine. They're able to put information to an ordinary lay people about how to look at ailments, how to solve ailments, how to find out things about people's health and well-being. It's also being used for banking. What happens in the developing nations is that you and I might go to an online bank to be able to transfer funds, to be able to find money or use a credit card, that it's not uncommon at all for those things to be done on the mobile phone. So people will be paid onto their mobile phone. They'll also be able to transfer money across to their homes, which is traditionally what happens. They'll move away from the village to get employment and have to send money back home. They'll send that back through the mobile phone. It'll be received. And they'll take that mobile phone into the shop and use that to be able to pay for things as well.
Amazing. So huge changes, even with the dumb phone.
Incredible, and also used for education. I mean, we really can't call it a dumb phone, can we?
Apologies to anyone who's actually still using a dumb phone, because there are a few out there, I think, that still use the old phones.
Absolutely. So it's phenomenal what we can do with these little boxes once we get them in the hands of people. And I think one of the most satisfying things is that we're told that one of the ways that we will overcome poverty, one of the ways that we will be able to make sure everybody has access to resource, to food, to water, is actually through these mobile devices. Of course, not offering it through the mobile device, but making sure everybody has a voice, everybody's heard, and secondly, that they have some kind of a contact point. And that in itself is just an incredible thing to think about within 40 years.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, there used to be phones. I mean, you used to use them to talk and communicate with people, but these days we spend really more of our time tapping into them, don't we?
Yeah. The statistic is that only 16% of time used on these mobile devices is for making calls. The other 84% is used for socialising. It's used for emails, for SMS, and now for checking social networks. So you're absolutely right. The phone feature of it is really one of the least used features.
And what about the NFC side of it? What's that all about?
This is something we've talked about for quite a while. It's NFC stands for Near Field Communication. It's a hardwired chip that's now sold inside many of the Android phones, but we're waiting for Apple to take it on as well. What will happen when NFC becomes ordinary, and again it'll be built into our mobile phone, just one of the things it can do, we'll be able to use it to tap on, say, a poster and get more information. We'll be able to use it to find friends that are around us. We'll be able to use it for our credit cards and pay, as we already can in some places. So what we're going to find is this becomes our virtual assistant, our little friend in the pocket, so to speak, and the device will know so much about us, it'll be able to interrogate the world and tell us exactly what we want to know, based on where we are, the time of day, and what we are most likely to do next.
So we'll be able to ask the phone what we need when we get to the supermarket and forget.
Yes, but even more, the phone will actually be able to tell you before you even ask. Because what it knows is that you're in the supermarket, it knows that you've run out of tomatoes, it's Tuesday and you like to have tomatoes on your salad with your steak, and literally that's what will happen. It will tell you that you need to get them, it'll tell you where the aisle is, and which tomatoes you like, where they were picked, and it can just keep going on and on. So much chatter can be had, and it's none of it through the normal phone.
Amazing. Okay, so well, that's one glimpse of the future. Otherwise, what do you see as the future of mobile phones?
Well, eventually, and not too far away, I think they're going to become agnostic, which for me means that we're not going to worry too much about whether they're an Apple or an Android or whatever else. We'll buy the box that we like, but we'll be able to do the same thing on all of them. And as we've seen over the past few years, they're going to get smaller and smaller and eventually disappear. We talked the other week about wearable computers, about Google Glass that's coming out, this pair of spectacles that you'll be able to use. There are all sorts of watches. There are bits and pieces that are coming out. I'd say by the end of this decade, by the time we hit 2020, the mobile phone as we know it will almost have disappeared.
Really? So we'll be wearing it as a watch?
We'll be wearing it as something, whatever makes sense. So it'll be so small and so discreet. It could be a watch, it could be a brooch, it could be part of your briefcase. It might even be sewn into the material that you're wearing in your clothes. It'll just be a part of what we do. And I think it'll be broken down into various segments. So in other words, you know, your phone might do something special, your watch might do something else. It'll just be a concert. I know it sounds messy, but it really is the way that we're headed. Purpose-built, individual pieces, hyper-personalized, and just a communication bridge.
Fascinating insight into the mobile phone with Morris Beslowski. Morris, just remind us how we can keep up to date with what's happening in the future.
As always, businessfuturist.com. And if you'd love to join me, I have a free 45-minute monthly webinar, which is actually this afternoon at 1 p.m, where we talk all things future.
Sounds great. Morris Beslowski from businessfuturist.com. We'll catch you again in a fortnight. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it.